And good afternoon. I'm Phil Taylor. This is Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. And today we're going to be talking to Thomas Mountain about Eritrea. We'll also talk to Bob Lovelace, professor at Queen's, and he was captured aboard the Marianne trying to deliver medical supplies, etc., to Gaza, with the Israeli Navy captured the ship, and Bob Lovelace. So we'll talk to Bob Lovelace. And in the latter part of the show, we will be talking to Fred Jerome about an old crime that was never solved, and that's the death of Count Bernadotte. And it's kind of a seminal, one of those moments in the history of the Middle East. Quite an impact, and Fred Jerome has written an article. I tell you that it's in the journal published by Americans for Middle East Understanding. That's AMEU.org, they have a journal called The Link, and Fred has the feature piece. I'll say at the top while we're waiting, we should be with Thomas Mountain momentarily, but that an investigator for the at the United Nations International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, a friend of mine, by the way, has been taken off the streets by armed individuals, three of them, I believe, and there's at this moment no trace, but I would say that anyone familiar with the issue of Rwanda knows that this has happened previously, that everyone is at risk in that region, particularly if you're a critic of the President Paul Kagame. I'm not aware. I'm sorry to say that the news is that there's no news. That is, there's nothing from the Kenyan authorities. There is nothing, no statement by anybody purporting to be a captor. It was a fairly sophisticated action. I would remind you that a gentleman, a very prominent individual named Seth Sendashonga, was murdered in Nairobi in 1996. He was a critic of the government. He had been in the government. I guess that's why they were most unhappy with him. But there's a long list of individuals who've been killed or kidnapped in Nairobi. Anyway, that's all we have at this moment, and we will try to have a story for you next week that is with more information. The Greeks have had their vote, and the Toronto Star quotes a German banker as saying that Greece is separating itself from Europe, which is, I'd have to tell him he doesn't know anything about geography or politics. Greece is Europe, and Greeks are known one of those people who have architects of a phenomenon that maybe the German banker doesn't like called democracy. And they haven't gone anywhere. They are simply protecting their dignity. And they were given terms which were typical banker's language of non-negotiable, et cetera. And the next stage will be the part that gets interesting. What happens? The finance minister has stepped down, and the reason they're giving it seems to be the main reason is that he's the one. I think we just call him Yanis. He's a rather informal man, so we will be informal. Professor Yanis has stepped down because he was told that his presence at future talks might make things a little more acrimonious than they needed to be. They also apparently have a dress code, and you can't come without a tie. And I guess you have to have certain kind of trick in your accent so they know that you're a member of the club. And he's not in the club. But it's going to be very interesting. If he's not aboard and talks go forward, every time something is in doubt, the whole population is going to say, and what does Professor Yanis think? There's a lot of debate about this. One of the places you can follow it is Monthly Review, MR Zine. You can just go to that site. You'll find very informed commentary from several directions. To me, it's not clear what the brain trust at Monthly Review thinks. But there's a lot of voices here. I would remind you, Monthly Review first published on their first edition was Albert Einstein's Why I'm a Socialist. I think it was Why I'm a Socialist. And it was certainly arguing for socialism, and they couldn't have had a – that wasn't – you couldn't have find a more strategic, smarter way to start your journal than to have the lead essay by Albert Einstein. I raised the name of Albert Einstein because Fred Jerome is going to be with us at about the halfway point in the program, and Fred Jerome has made Einstein Einstein's views more widely known than they would be otherwise. He pointed out that Einstein was a sharp opponent of American racism, and he made an alliance with Paul Robeson and W.E.B. Du Bois, fighting lynching and fighting overt racism in America. And strangely enough, none of the 155 or 800 biographers of Einstein ever noticed that. He also wrote about and thought about a great deal the founding of the State of Israel. He was, as people probably know, it's one of the great anecdotes about Israel, is that he was offered the presidency of Israel but didn't take it. The commentary there was, they said that people who offered it to him said to each other, what will we do if he accepts? But Fred Jerome has published a book, the Einstein on Israel and Zionism, and what he's going to say to us later in the show will reflect his study of Einstein and Einstein's correspondence. But we are joined now, I believe, by Thomas Mountain. Are you there, sir? Hello?
Let's go.
Hey, Thomas. Now, you made a trip to, was it Geneva? And you have an article, the UN versus Eritrea, and you spoke to, I gather, a large crowd of Eritreans who are in the diaspora and others, and that was on June 22nd. What was the occasion, and what did you have to say to them? Hello? I hope I didn't offend him. I know I didn't. There must be a break-off. We're going to do our best to get back in touch with Thomas. People familiar with the Taylor Report know that we tend to speak to places in the world and the people in the world that don't get spoken to a lot. And so the phones don't always work and the communications are poor. I'll go back to this. I want to make sure I mention the title while I have this opportunity. The Einstein File is one of the books by Fred Jerome, Race and Racism, Einstein on Race and Racism, and Israel and Zionism, which is, to my mind, the most important of the three because this is a burning issue at the moment, as we know, and we'll be learning when we speak later with Mr. Lovelace, Bob Lovelace, who was on the boat to Gaza, the Marianne. So that book, at any rate, I hope people will note it. I hope they will order it, Israel and Zionism, Einstein. And of course, the editor is Fred Jerome. And again, this is a topic which is not covered in most of the biographies and studies of him. You know, there are many admiring biographies. I saw someone on John Stewart who was being stroked and admired, telling all about Einstein, and that subject never came up. He was highly critical, particularly of the some of the key people. Are you there, Thomas Mountain? Hello.
Yes, I am.
I don't know. The gremlins are after us, Thomas, but I was asking, you spoke in Geneva. What did you tell them? Who was there?
Well, you know, the UN appointed a so-called commission of inquiry to investigate alleged human rights violations in Eritrea. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the three-member panel of this commission was composed of people that had never been to Eritrea, and two of them had previously called for regime change in Eritrea. In other words, let's have the Eritrean government overthrown.
Those were their their qualifications were that they were all ready for regime change.
Yes, and see, the thing is, Eritrea is the first time that they passed sanctions against Eritrea in 2009. The UN Security Council, I call them the Insecurity Council, passed sanctions against Eritrea in 2009. We know, thanks to WikiLeaks, that they did it not because Eritrea was supporting terrorism. We know, again, thanks to WikiLeaks, that the United States knew that Eritrea wasn't supporting the al-Shabaab in Somalia. They passed it to try to block the development of Eritrea's mining industry by stopping financing for its first gold mine. So Eritrea is about to launch another phase in the mining industry where they're going to have two new copper mines starting up this year and another major potash mine, fertilizer mine, which is going to be the only fertilizer mine coming online in the next decade in the world. And they're trying to block financing for both all three of these mines. So the UN appoints this so-called Commission of Inquiry to investigate human rights violations, alleged human rights violations in Eritrea. Now, none of them have been here, and, you know, the course of the report is so bogus because they claim to have interviewed 500 Eritreans that have left the country. And
yes. Hello? Hello, Thomas? I'm afraid the gremlins got us again. By the way, while we're waiting, we're going to make another attempt, of course, to reach Thomas. He's a terrific guy, and this story of Eritrea is one where it's exactly like what we're experiencing. We can only hear the three reporters, the investigators, who have never been to the country, two of whom have already called for the regime change in the country. It's called a UN report. And the fallout from this is monstrous because I'm looking at an article in Toronto Star of Saturday called State of Fear in Eritrea, and its subtitle is Hundreds of Thousands Have Simply Lost Hope as Ruthless Repression, that's in folk, you know, like different colors, so they really jump at you, and rights violations on a colossal, it's not just a, you know, not extreme, or it's colossal scale, drive the population exodus. And I wonder if they can make the same explanation for the Puerto Ricans leaving Puerto Rico at a very high rate. I don't know if you, Phil, if you're familiar, Phil Connors is here, if this is going on right now. That, you know, the Greek financial crisis, we're having one in Puerto Rico, and big debt issues, and people are flooding out of the country because there's no jobs, there's no money. But, of course, they're not on the hate list or the to be sounding down. Thomas, we got you again. This is Guerrilla Radio. I was just emphasizing the stories are already being printed here. State of Fear in Eritrea. That's a headline on Toronto Star. State of Fear. But that isn't the problem that is being faced by Eritrea and other countries, is it?
No, this is all a big propaganda campaign, like I was saying, to sabotage our economy and make life hard for our people, you know, the sanctions and all these other things. And this is one of the reasons why our young people are leaving, because there's no work here, because the economy's been sabotaged. And then there's also a question of this climate disaster we've been facing, that it looks like this year is going to be a drought in Eritrea. That means that six out of the last 12 years, agriculture in the entire country has failed. Mm-hmm. Now, can you imagine what kind of crisis Canada would be in if six out of the last 12 years all the agriculture, the whole country failed?
Yes, of course.
And so, so a lot of Canadians would be going outside looking for work because their, you know, their livelihood would be destroyed by the weak drought. Yeah. So we've got this problem. We've got the Western, especially the United States, who's pulling the strings behind the UN. Actively trying to sabotage our economy. And then secondly, we've got this climate disasters that are happening because of this so-called global warming destroying our environment here.
Yes.
So, you know, the economy's bad. So the young people are leaving, so they're claiming this because the government is in North Korea and Africa. And it's all a bunch of horse manure.
Yeah.
But this is all a campaign to vilify the country and damage our economy.
Yeah, and you mentioned two villains in the Obama White House, Susan Rice, who is a champion of sanctions against Eritrea, a poor country. And Gail Smith, I didn't. She has one heck of a personal story. How does she get to be next to Obama? She's got her history is fascinating.
Yeah, I call her the quiet consigliere to Obama because she's usually very much in the background. When Obama was starting to run for the president back in 2008, Anthony Lake, who was former National Security Advisor to Bill Clinton, and Susan Rice and Gail Smith were his three senior foreign policy advisors. They quickly identified him as being the best chance to get back in the White House in positions of power, and so they got on board. They were some of the first to back Obama. And when he won, then they were right there in the White House. Of course, Anthony Lake, his payoff was he got to be head of UNICEF, and he's a failed nominee to head the CIA, and how he got to be head of the largest children's relief organization in the world is another story. But
maybe those were his credentials. Yeah. By the way, I want to make sure that we underline something. You pointed out that despite all this noise and abuse of the government of Eritrea coming from Washington, the people there, you had a good crowd, and they don't like to see their country insulted. These are people, Eritreans and others, Africans, in Geneva where you were.
Yes. Well, the Eritrean people know what, outside, the honest elements know that everything's a lie. Now, look, in Canada, you've got a very prominent, internationally respected human rights lawyer named Lloyd Lipset, who came to Eritrea not once but twice and carried out a very thorough human rights investigation here. And his conclusions are completely opposite to what the Human Rights Commission in the UN said, who's never been to Eritrea. You also have prominent, a very well-known Batman Ashwin Latansi, he's an award-winning producer back in his days at the BBC, who came here with a film crew and did a groundbreaking documentary back in 2012. A completely different conclusion. You've got Andrzej Wlicek, who's an award-winning filmmaker and a best-selling author with Noam Chomsky, who's here last year. A completely different conclusion than the UN Commission. These three prominent people, including their prominent Canadian human rights lawyer, Lloyd Lipset, all been here, all seen with your own eyes what's going on, and completely disagree with this commission report. Yeah. And the commission has never been here. Yeah. And they're relying on people like Human Rights Watch, whose investigators have never been here. Yeah. And they're saying all these nasty things. So who are we going to believe? People with international reputation who've actually been here and carried out investigations, or people that have never been here and with very dodgy credentials.
Well, Thomas, you stated it very well. I'm sorry we got cut off here today. I'm going to follow up on your leads of all those people who, as you say, have done great work on it. And we'll get back to you sometime very soon to talk more about this. Thank you very, very much.
Okay, Phil. Thanks.
Okay. Thomas Mountain. The title is UN versus Eritrea. An excellent piece, and you can find that because the web exists, and I know you're not helpless, and you can get to the bottom of this story. But amazing that a United Nations has a report in which three authors, investigators, have never been to Eritrea, and they two of them have called for the removal of the government prior to doing their objective research.
Well, by the way, is that a function of the United Nations to decide which of its members should no longer be a member? Is that because that's what they're doing, right? They're saying
you would think it was. The UN enjoys too much status. The great powers have a lot to say with what happens there, and so that's undoubtedly the issue. You're listening to CIUT Taylor Report. By the way, you can write to us, taylor@ciut.fm. Incidentally, we do apologize for our problems in reaching Eritrea, but we're proud that we did reach it, Eritrea, and we're at Thomas Mountain, and we'll always make the effort, realizing that these are voices that can't be heard otherwise.